This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد When Allah Azza wa Jal sent humans to this earth He said قال اهبطوا منها جميعا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ He says, descend all of you together. Each of you to each other will be an enemy. He's saying there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when he sent Adam and Hawa, and he sent with them Iblis, that there will be animosity between humankind and the children of Iblis. Where Iblis and his progeny will try their best to destroy Adam and his children. So there is this conflict on this earth between what Allah wants from us and what Iblis is asking us to do. And one of the major tools and weapons that the shaitan uses against all of us is our own hawa, our own desires. For Allah Azza wa Jal had put desires in us, and some of that is good. But when it lacks control, or when it takes us towards what Allah hates, that is the hawa that destroys. And Allah tells us in many ayahs in the Quran that it is a condition for us to reach Him, a condition for us to listen to the prophets, and to benefit with what they say, a condition is to oppose our hawa. Our desire, what our nafs asks us to do. For Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى As for the one who fears the time and place where he will be standing before Allah, and he curbs his desire, tells himself, no, and you should. This is نَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى Then the consequence, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ His refuge will be heaven. So two things are required for that to happen. One, he's afraid and she's afraid of the time when they will stand before Allah. That is, they know and they believe that there is going to come a time when I alone will be with Allah and Allah will ask me. On that day, you know well I told you not to do this, why did you do it? And on that other day and night, I told you to do this, how come you didn't do it? You did not avoid the haram and you did not do the obligations. What is the answer? So that person who believes that he will answer questions is afraid of that moment. And if you expect that to happen, you'll watch what you do and you'll watch what you say. Just like when you know very well when someone is going to question you later in this dunya, a court, a lawyer, a policeman, whatever, about what you're doing, you watch everything you do. Because you will be questioned. So if you fear that time of questioning, and because of it, you stop yourself, and you force yourself, نهى النفس عن الهوى. Because the self is inclined to laziness. You want it to do, but it's lazy, it doesn't want to do. Inclined to being stingy, it doesn't want to give. You ask it to give, but it doesn't want to give. And it commands you often to do evil. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ. Indeed, the self constantly commands you to do bad things. If you don't control it, what happens to you? If you listen to it, what happens to you? Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, فَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمُ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. He's speaking to the people of the book, but he is also speaking to us. He says, whenever a messenger comes to you with what you don't like, you become defiant, and some you belie and some you kill. That is, for the people of the book, a messenger could come and say do and don't. Their hawa would say no to both. So what do? They reject the message. They become defiant all the way until they kill a messenger of Allah, or the attempt to kill a messenger of Allah. How could a person reach that level? It's because you listen to your hawa. And Allah told Dawood alayhi salam, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ardi fahkum bayna an-nasi bil haqqi wa la tattabi' al hawa fayudillaka an sabilillah. O Dawood, we have made you a khalifa on earth, so judge between people in justice and don't follow hawa. Don't follow your desire, because then you will not be able to be just. Because it will take you away, the ayah continues, it will take you away from the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Do not follow their desires. And he also tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If they don't listen to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that applies to us today. If you know that he's a prophet of Allah, if you know that the Quran comes to you from Allah and you still do not follow, what is the reason? فَعْلَمْ نَوْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. They're just following their desires. Meaning, I like to do something and I like it so much that I'm not willing to listen to anybody else. And I hate to do something else. And I don't want to do it, and I'm tired and I'm lazy and I don't want to depart with my money, so I'm not going to do it. So Allah is saying it's not lack of evidence that is their problem. Their problem is that they did not tame their hawa. So whatever they feel like, they do. And whatever they don't feel like, they do not do. And if you don't control this, Allah Azza wa Jalla also said in the Quran, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen the one who has taken his desire, what he desires, as his ilah? Now interestingly, the explanation of this ayah is that person, whatever he desires to worship, he worships. That's one interpretation. If he desires to worship an idol, he does. If he desires to worship the sun and the moon, he does. if he desires not to worship Allah but something else, he does. That's one interpretation. The other interpretation is that that person's religion becomes his desire. Whatever he likes to do, he does. So in Islam, in the Quran, in the Sunnah, what he likes to do becomes advantageous, religious. That's the thing that I will do. And if he doesn't like something, he puts it aside. He ignores it. He argues against it. He did not submit to Allah, but submitted to what? His desire. You become a servant of it, a slave to it, and by that, abdun lihawa. And Allah Azza wa Jal warned us against that. And He wants us to fight against it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, وَالْمُجَاهِدُ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. The mujahid is the one who wages jihad against himself for the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the pure definition of jihad and the pure definition of a mujahid. The basis of all jihad is this. Meaning you're struggling with yourself. A self that doesn't want to pray. Do you let it? A self that delays salah because you're watching TV or you're chatting with friends or you're just basically lazy. Do you let it? A self that likes to look at the haram and it enjoys looking at it. And it doesn't want to think about the consequences of looking, listening to the haram. Do you let it? Or do you fight with yourself? What happens when you're asked to give sadaqah or zakah? Do you put your hand in your pocket and you keep it inside your pocket, or do you take it out of your pocket and give, believing that Allah will give you back? And as you are giving, the shaitan is fighting with you and your nafs is fighting with you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, "Inna shaytana qa'ada li ibn Adam bi atruqih." The shaytan sits at every path of righteousness than the child of Adam wants to take. Every path. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يُسْلِمُ. When someone wants to accept Islam, the hadith continues, the shaitan will tell them, are you going to leave the religion of your parents and your forefathers and go to something new that you do not know? So he tries to scare him. So the Muslim accepts Islam and disobeys the shaitan. And then when he wants to migrate, لِلَّهِ, the shaitan will come and tell him, you will leave your earth and sky, the place that you know very well, your people, your home, your family, and go to a place where will be a stranger, alone. Do you really want to do this? But the Muslim disobeys him and he migrates. And when a person wants to go to jihad, the shaitan will come and tell him, are you going to go to jihad? Lose your life, lose your money. Who's going to take care of your kids? And your wife. But the Muslim disobeys the shaitan and obeys Allah Azza wa Jal. So here in that hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlights that struggle that persists at every act of righteousness that you want to do. You want to do something good. You want to wake up for Fajr. The shaitan says, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. You have a long night ahead of you. Keep sleeping. Sleeping is sweet. And Allah is saying, أَلَا مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Isn't there someone who is asking for forgiveness so I can forgive him? And the shaitan says, what the opposite? Keep sleeping. And Allah says, isn't there someone who wants to ask me for something I can give to him? And the shaitan says, keep sleeping. And the Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, isn't there someone who wants to repent so I can accept from him? And the shaitan says, keep sleeping. And if you don't fight, you're going to miss all of that. If you're going to fight, you're going to miss all of it. And so we all have that problem of hawa, a problem that we have in us that is weakness inclined towards what the shaitan likes and away from what Allah loves. And if you don't fight, you will lose. And someone came to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma wa qala lahu hadithni anil jihad. He says, tell me about jihad. قَالَ إِبْدَأْ بِنَفْسِكَ فَخْزُهَا وَابْدَأْ بِنَفْسِكَ فَجَاهِدْهَا. He says, I'll tell you about jihad. Begin with yourself and wage jihad against it. And begin with yourself and wage war against it. Meaning that, curb it. Keep it away from what Allah hates. And force it to do what Allah wants. Yes, force it. Force it. And in the beginning, when you force the self will rebel. The self will not like it. The self will fight you, just like a child who had been used to eating sugar will fight with you when you tell him you can't eat sugar anymore. If you surrender to yourself, the self will win and destroy you. But if you are forceful, and if you ask Allah for support, the self will surrender to you and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. And what was difficult before becomes easy. And what was bitter before becomes easy. And it's enough to look at the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When Allah told them, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ. He says, fighting has been prescribed upon you, and this is something that you hate, meaning naturally you hate. But then Allah tells them that perhaps you may hate something, and there is good in it. And perhaps you may like something, and there is bad in it. You can't go with what you feel. You can't go with what you like. You have to force yourself to do the right thing and always remind yourself, Allahu ya'lam, Allah knows and you do not know. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that every day as the sun is rising, two angels beside it call on humanity and the jinn, and they say, أيها الناس هلموا إلى ربكم, come to Allah عز وجل. فإنما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهى. What is little but is sufficient for you is better than what is abundant but distracting. Meaning at the beginning of your day, as you're going to pursue whatever Allah has destined for you, remember that your aim should be to come to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you use the dunya as a means, not a distraction. If Allah only gives you little from the dunya, sufficient for you, but it doesn't distract you and allows you time to be close to Allah, that is far better than getting a lot from the dunya and being so immersed in it, obsessed about it, that it takes you away from Allah Azza wa Jal. That is a daily reminder that those two angels declare to humanity every single day. And at the end of that day, two angels, as the sun is setting, will says, اللهم أعطي منفقا خلفا ويقول الآخر اللهم أعطي ممسكا تلفا. He says, Ya Allah, give the one who had spent for your sake compensation and substitution for what they've done. And Allah, give those who had withheld back ruin. Give them ruin, hold back as they've held back. As for those who gave, give them as they gave. And that is a reminder at the end of the day that every single day is a day that we struggle to come close to Allah. And if you fail one day, you compensate with the next. And if you fail one week, you compensate with the next. And every day you push yourself and you say, today is a day where I will give sadaqah. Today is a day where I will remember Allah. Today is a day where I will repent. I will read Quran. I will do what I can and I'll push myself to be the best. And when you sleep, you have the intention of doing the same thing the next day. And you keep asking Allah for support. And that happens, that struggle, that striving continues till we die. And there is nothing better than doing all of this in a season of forgiveness like the season that we are in at this moment. That is, if these, and they are the best days of the year, then Allah Azza wa Jal is selecting you, inviting you, asking you to come back to Him. And He has opened the door of good deeds for all of us. Whatever you do in these days is better than what you do outside of them. The sadaqah that you can give is multiplied. The dhikr that you can give is multiplied, and the doors of Allah Azza wa Jal are open for you. And He's asking you to engage, to come and to struggle with yourself. Push yourself in these days. Push by fasting. Fast as many of them as you can. And especially the day of Arafah. Especially the day of Arafah. So fast, if you've missed some, that's fine. Fast the rest of them. If you can't fast all of them, fast as many as you can. But when it comes to the day of Arafah, fast that day and know that that is a day of ibadah. If you can, release yourself of other obligations and focus on ibadah on that day. Fasting forgives the sins of the past year and the coming year. And the day of Arafah this year coincides with a Friday. So when you finish your Asr on a Friday, from Asr to Maghrib, that should be a time of dua and dhikr for you. Because the dua of the day of Arafah is an accepted dua. So gear up from now, get ready from now, that on the day of Arafah, from Fajr till Maghrib, that's a day of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tasbih, tahmid, takbir, tahleel, salah and salam upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as much as you can, and dua. And especially now, when you pray Asr, you sit. And you make dua, and you make dhikr, and keep asking Allah Azza wa Jal. And during those days, make these days a days of dhikr. Make them days of repentance. That is, if there is something wrong that you're doing and you used to do, stop it. Even if there is just some minor sins, keep asking Allah for forgiveness for those minor and small things. And to give you power so that you don't come back to them. So keep asking Allah for that and make that part of your dua. Repentance. And then dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَأَكْثِرُ فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that increase in that, in those days, فَأَكْثِرُ فِيهِنَّ do a lot of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, especially takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wherever you are. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and especially on a Friday, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Muhammad. As much as you can. And you will feel the transformation of that dhikr in yourself and in your family. And pick up the Quran and read as much of it as you can. And you have sadaqah and you have the udhiyah that you give and slaughter for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, to please Allah, for Allah's forgiveness. These are blessed days. And add to them silatul rahim, kindness to your relatives, kindness to strangers, assisting others. Whatever ibadah Allah enables you to do, whatever good deed Allah opens the door for you and me, enter that door. And eventually, and to kind of summarize, don't stop making dua. Don't stop making dua for whatever you want. Something troubling you in the dunya, ask Allah. Something trouble you about the akhirah, ask Allah. Some, if you have an issue with your kids, with your spouse, with your parents, ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Something about sustenance, provisions, ask Allah. Whatever it is, small or big, keep asking Allah Azza wa Jal. And you will find that the more that you ask, the more that you would like to ask. And when you see results, you will believe that there is a benefit to that dua, and you will not stop making that dua. So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arham Ar-Rahimeen, to make us of those who take advantage of these days. Allow us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to fast them in sincerity and according to the sunnah of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allow us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to fast the day of Arafah and forgive us our sins on it. Allow us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to make a lot of dhikr during these days and a lot of dhikr on the day of Arafah, and accept our dua on the day of Arafah. Make us of those who are saved from hellfire. Make us of those who are given heaven, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And make that so for our parents, our spouses, our children, our families, and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to accept our dua, to forgive us in the dunya and in the akhirah, to protect us from all evil in the dunya and in the akhirah. Ya Rabbal Alameen, fix us and reform us and bring us closest to you. And we make the same dua for our children, the same dua for our spouses, the same dua for our community and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbal Alameen, cleanse our heart from anything that displeases you. Cleanse our hearts from things that takes us away from you. And fill our hearts with what you love. Fill us with your love and love of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love of the believers and the love of the things that you love. Fill it with the love of the Quran, with the love of the Sunnah. Make us of those who live upon the truth, who die upon the truth, and are resurrected upon the truth. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma nas'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa na'udhu bika min an-nari wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Wa nas'aluka al-khayra kullahu 'ajilahu wa ajilahu ma 'alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. Wa na'udhu bika min ash-sharri kullihi 'ajilihi wa ajilihi ma 'alimna minhu wa ma lam na'lam. ونسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها رب العالمين اللهم إنا نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم نسألك الفردوس الأعلى اللهم نعوذ بك من النار اللهم نعوذ بك من النار اللهم نعوذ بك من النار اللهم نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقرب إلى حبك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأقم الصلاة.
Allah.